स्वाध्याय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवता नारायणेन स्वयम्। ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः।
ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः।
व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः ये केह कुरुनन्दन बहुशाखायनन्ताश्च बुद्धयो व्यवसायिनाम्।
So the whole second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, as an epitome of the entire Gita, mainly discusses two main topics of the Shastram: Jnana Moksha Shastram and Karma Shastram. And that's why from the verse number 11 till the verse number 30, you can say generally Krishna reveals the nature of the self, how he makes it very clear how Atma is Satyam, Anatma is Mithya. Not only that, Mithya means what everything comes, how everything comes and goes. He talks about the nature of the thoughts, nature of pains and pleasure which come and go, and all those things. Thereafter, he reveals the Karma Yoga. He talks about the Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga definitely does not give directly knowledge. Karma Yoga is not the means for moksha. Jnanam is the means for moksha. Then after we say Jnanam itself is moksha. There's two things, okay? Moksha means what? Freedom from all limitations is the ultimate human goal, and for which knowledge of this reality, knowledge of the self is the only means. There's no other means, there's nothing other than knowledge which will free one from this choiceless human goal of moksha. You have to know, is there any other choice? No. Jnanam is the only choice, okay? Only means for this choiceless end of moksha, which has to be accomplished choicelessly. Okay, that's a moksha. Thereafter we also say Jnanam and moksha are not two different things. The means itself is what? The end. They are identical. Jnanam and moksha, Jnanam moksha, okay, identical. Jnanam itself is freedom. Also we know. And here in this context, we also know how this knowledge of the self, first one has to understand the nature of this reality as one's own self, as substance of the substantive I, and having understood the nature of the reality, how one has to focus one's attention on the nature of the reality, how one has to ascertain, only when the nature of the reality becomes ascertained, the surupam of the Atma becomes ascertained, the real moksha is. But for the ascertainment, what one needs is this pure and steady mind. Because without the pure mind, without the steady mind, okay, the contemplative disposition is not possible. Without the contemplative disposition, this ascertained vision of the reality is not possible, which itself is moksha. Therefore, it is very important, being endowed with the pure and steady mind, as important as the knowledge. Understand, even the knowledge is the moksha. Okay. But without jnanam, even the pure and steady mind definitely will not take you anywhere. Definitely satyam. Even however pure the mind is, however the steady mind is, still the pure and steady mind without the jnanam will not take you anywhere. Okay, knowledge is the moksha. Knowledge itself is the moksha. But for that knowledge, that knowledge is not possible without the pure and steady mind. Understand? If you have to understand this. Therefore, it is being endowed with having pure and steady mind is as important as the knowledge. Therefore, but for the pure and steady mind, one has to live a life of karma yoga, which is a life completely governed by dharma, the knowledge of values and discretion action. I mean, always being conscious of choosing to the right, avoiding the wrong. And second thing, there's a proper attitude, because whatever I do, all that I do, all the results I want, as a result of my all that I do, ultimately what I seek is my happiness. Now, doing anything and everything with this understanding makes you have the attitude of offer all that you do, do everything, all that you do with a proper attitude of offering to the Bhagavan, which converts your action into yoga. And for a person of such attitude, whatever comes in life also doesn't matter. He knows the nature of anything and everything which comes in life. Everything comes, anything pleasant or unpleasant, desirable or undesirable, everything comes and goes. Everything is impermanent. Nothing is permanent here. But anyway, all that is, they can't be changed. We don't have any say over whatever comes in life, because they're all preordained, predetermined by the natural laws, and which form the part and parcel of the total universal natural law and order. Therefore, if everything is Ishvara, the whole is Ishvara, all the laws are Ishvara, then the law ordained results are what? Prasada. And once one can relate to the results as a prasada, look at it as prasada, then one can accept any result with the sameness of mind. Okay, this attitude also converts one's life into a life of karma yoga. This is a very, very important thing. And this karma yoga alone, there's no other way. The karma, whatever karma you do, that itself becomes a yoga, which paves way for the mental purity and steadiness, is called yoga. If it cannot contribute for mental purity and steadiness, then it cannot be yoga. So only the dharma governed karma, the karma, anything we do, the karma, the motive behind the karma, and the karma, if performance of any action, if it is in conformity with dharma, it becomes yoga. It paves way for antahkarana shuddhi. And which also implies an attitude of doing everything ultimately for moksha. Whatever I do, ultimately what I want is jnanam, which is moksha. And this understanding also helps you have the attitude of offering everything that you do, as an offering. So this, and also whatever comes in life is prasada, then there's no why it comes. There's no such thing. Anything comes as prasada. Okay, this converts one's actions, one's whole life into yoga. In fact, a life of karma yogi is a life of worship. The whole life becomes worship. And for such a person, the work itself becomes worship. This is karma yoga, and karma yoga alone will contribute for mental purity and steadiness, without which knowledge is not possible, which itself without knowledge also cannot give moksha. That is why living a life of karma yoga is indirect means for moksha. And then very, very important. It's not that too different. This for you, this path, for me, this path. No. All of us, if you are mentally prepared and ready, if you are pure and steady, then that is pursuit of knowledge. If you are not at ready for the knowledge, then you have to go through karma yoga. There's nobody is inferior, nobody is superior. Everybody can accomplish. This is the order. And in this context, Krishna says, how, that is why, but to be a karma yogi, listen to this, very important now. First, to be a karma yogi, to convert one's life into a life of karma yoga, to be able to be committed to live a life of values, and always to have an attitude of offering everything to, Ishvara, and all these things are possible only if one has purushartha nischayaha. That is what is very important. Purushartha nischayaha means, of all the human pursuits, everything is a pursuit. No pursuit is said to be ignored. No pursuit is said to be only pursuit alone recommended highly. All the pursuits are equally important. But one has to distinguish. One should be able to distinguish what is the Paramaha Purusharatha, what is the absolute. end. Why? Because absolute end means other ends are not that, and other ends should not be pursued. They have to be pursued, but each pursuit is important. Each pursuit has its own limitation. What it can give, what it cannot give. When you say what I want is this ultimately, and what I seek ultimately cannot be given by other pursuit, means that is the limitation of the pursuit. Therefore, I know the importance of artha. The non-pursuit of artha will not lead me to moksha, will not take me anywhere. Non-pursuit of kama also in no way help me to accomplish moksha. Of course, in not living a life of dharma definitely will not help me achieve anything in life. Okay, it is very important. But living a life of dharma itself is not enough. Okay, definitely living a life of dharma is a must, but it is not enough. And pursuit of kama also, is not enough for moksha, will not help me attain moksha. And really, pursuit of artha also will not help me attain moksha. So non-pursuit also will not help me accomplish moksha. Pursuit also will not help me attain moksha, means moksha is not in accomplishing the pursuing artha kama or non-pursuing artha kama. Moksha is something which is the choiceless end. I have no choice. Do I need to accomplish it or not? No question. This is the ultimate choice. Okay, I want to be happy is a choiceless end. And for that moksha is the choiceless, ultimate goal through all the pursuit, through artha, through by being secure, through kama, and by enjoying all pleasures, and through living a life of dharma. What I really want in life is, I want to be peaceful and happy. This is what we say, Paramaha Purusharthaha, the exalted of all the ends, and the absolute of all the ends is Mokshaha. Freedom from limitations. Freedom from all limitations. It is Mokshaha. Therefore we say Mokshaha is the ultimate. And therefore, Arthaha and Kamaha had to be pursued in conformity with dharma, ultimately for moksha. This must be very, very clear. If a person knows this, he will really work hard, do his duties, he'll pursue, do his duties, pursue artha and pursue kama with certain attitude, certain understanding, and in conformity with dharma. Okay, then he is a spiritual person, and he is prayerful, he is worshipful, he is religious, he is ethical. And such a person, definitely, for him, moksha is the, for ultimately for moksha. Only then that person's life can become life of karma yoga. Living a life of karma yoga is not possible if purushartha nischayaha, if one is not definite about what my ultimate goal in life is. That is why the previous verse, he says, Vyavasayatmika buddhihi yeka. We saw how. Now suppose how being exposed to the Shastram, and once you know, okay, knowledge is my, moksha is the ultimate, knowledge is the only means, then you have what? Pramana janita, clarity. You are very clear. Purushartha nischaya is there. Until you are exposed, you analyze, even though you pursue artha, kama, dharma, everything, you are not very clear what my ultimate end is. Only when you analyze what are all the pursuits, what are all my ends, what all I want in life, then you categorize what is artha, what is kama, how artha is important, how kama is important, but still what kama cannot give, what artha cannot give, why they cannot give. Okay, and what is dharma, how important it is to live a life of dharma, at the same time what the limitation of dharma also, what is it ultimately I seek, if that is only in the because of ignorance of what it is, then if ignorance is the cause, ignorance is the cause for all the miseries I have in life, knowledge is the only solution, means that knowledge, okay, this is what I'm saying, understanding, the purushartha nischaya, with the help, this is called pramana janita, buddhihi, okay? Pramana janita viveka. Pramana janita viveka jnanam. You have viveka jnanam, you have clarity, you have the discriminative knowledge of what my ultimate end in life is. That you understand with the help of the pramana. Shastram, by analyzing all the pursuits. then for such a person, what ultimate, how many ultimate goals are there? Suppose artha, you analyze, artha is just one word which implies, which can have so, which can be so, which is a constituent of many varieties of ends. If kama, we say varieties of ends, constitution of varieties of ends together constitute one end called kama, many pleasures, many things which you want for security. Understand? Whereas mokshaha is the ultimate, means, okay, if a person knows moksha is the ultimate, then for him, he is very focused, and he, for him, end is one. Is very, very important. Otherwise, nischayatmika buddhi, okay, yeka iha kurunandana, single pointed, very focused. For a person who is very clear minded, for him, end is one. If, and okay, the person, if this pramana janita viveka jnanam, if this discriminative understanding of what my ultimate goal is, if it is not clear, what is, no, what has to be understood with the help of the shastram, if this is not clear, then moksha being the ultimate is, end is not clear, then ends will be how many? Bahushakaha anantaha. We many branched, okay, multifarious ends of, you know, many branched also. For whom? Avyavasayinam. Who are avyavasayis? Vyavasayi is the one, not the agriculturalist, okay? Literally it means agriculturalist. But vyavasayi is the, here vyavasayi is the one who has purushartha nischayaha, thereby for whom ultimate end is mokshaha, only one. And avyavasayi is the one who does not have purushartha nischayaha. Therefore, for whom end is not one, many branch and multifarious ends. Understand? That means, he says it's very clear here in between. Why Krishna talks about this in the in between? Because without this purushartha nischaya, you cannot make your life a meaningful one. You cannot convert life into a life of karma yoga. Now, every day we are getting up, doing our things, we are doing lot of karmas. Whether you want to do or don't want to do, we are doing a karma. What choice do you have about eating? What choice do you have about drinking? What choice do you have about wearing jackets and stuff and walking around, running around, doing things, going to toilets and bathroom, everything. What can we get? What can be left out? Everything has to be done. We are doing karma. But how can we convert all that we do, all that we have to do necessarily into a yoga? Converting the simple action into yoga, it's just the attitude. But how can you have the proper attitude? It's not simply having attitude. You can't have an attitude. It's very important to have the attitude. There must be change in you. I cannot change you, nor can you change yourself, that the change should take place in you. That is cognitive change. The change born of the understanding, being very clear, what is it I want, how can I get it, where is it available, no, what is it I need to get that. That means, how, what should I do for that? This is the clarity. Then once you have this, then the attitude can change. Understand? The attitudinal change is very, very important for that. To have the proper attitude, to change the view of life, to outlook of life, everything, and thereby to live this life, doing the same thing, but still, it, everything that you do, every day's life is what contributing for your mental purity and steadiness required for this contemplative disposition, which will help you to have ascertain vision of the self, which itself is moksha. That is why Krishna, in between, he talks about, don't be an avyavasayi, become a vyavasayi. Because without becoming a vyavasayi, it is not possible for you to become a karma yogi. That is why he has to talk about it. That's what I'm saying. I use the same words used in Bhagavad Gita. An avyavasayi cannot become a karma yogi. Vyavasayi alone can become a karma yogi. The one who has purushartha nischaya is the vyavasayi One who does not have Purusharth Nischaya is Avyavasayi. One who has Purusharth Nischaya, for him ultimate goal is one, single pointed. The goal is one then. Parmaha Purusharthaha Mokshaha. He can simply say, he puts artha and kama in conformity with dharma ultimately for moksha. How many ends are there for him? Nischayatmika buddhi, yeka, single pointed, focused. Otherwise, avyavasayi means artha kamas themselves become the, if moksha is not the end, avyavasayi means he does not have purushartha nischaya. If he does not have Purusharth Nischaya, means moksha cannot be the end. Not only moksha cannot be the end, he cannot know the value of knowledge. He cannot understand jnanam and moksha being identical. Knowledge of the self and the discovery of freedom, discovery of the self being identical will not be very clear for him. Then definitely, for such a person, understand, arthas and kamas become the ultimate ends. Artha kamas become the ultimate ends means not one, many, innumerably countless will be the ends. Then such a person, dharma also, what? He knows the dharma, he will not know the value of dharma. The one who does not know the value of knowledge cannot know the value of dharma. He may know the values, but he will not know the value of dharma. The one who does not know the value of values definitely need not be committed to the pursuit of valuable life of values. Then, understand, hacha person is who? Avyavasayi. Then where is the karma yoga? Isn't it? That is right. The whole thing was said. I think I have made very clear. Okay, now we'll go to the next verse. Simple verses, okay.
Yami mam pushpitam vacham.
Yami mam pushpitam vacham.
Pravadantya vipaschitaha.
Pravadantya vipaschitaha.
Vedavadarata partha. Vedavadarata partha. Nanyadastiti vadinaha. Nanyadastiti vadinaha.
We'll read both verses together. Let them have something together.
Kamatmana swarga paraha.
Kamatmana
swarga paraha. Janma karma phalapradam. Janma karma phalapradam. Kriya visesha bahulam. Kriya visesha bahulam. Bhogaishwariya gatim prati. Bhogaishwariya gatim prati. Yami mam pushpitam vacham.
Yami mam pushpitam vacham.
Pravadantya vipaschitaha.
Pravadantya vipaschitaha.
Vedavadarata partha.
Vedavadarata partha.
Nanyadastiti vadinaha. Nanyadastiti vadinaha.
So here, from here onwards, from 42nd verse onwards, 42nd, 43rd, and also 44th, all these three verses actually talk about the limitations of karma. And why he has to talk about limitations of karma? I mean, jnanam is the only means for moksha. It has to be very clear. Why should I not know? If I simply do the karma, I get results. I can, by doing something, by karma, by accomplishing, can I get moksha? Understand? I don't need jnanam for moksha. People, the limitations of karma is explained here in this. Why? Because knowledge is the knowledge of the self, implies discovery of the self. See, the self is there. All of us know. We don't need to attain self. The self is very much there. I am. I know I am. Therefore, discovering the self itself is what? Discovering the truth of the universe. Discovering the truth of the universe implies discovering the nature of the universe. Discovering the nature of the truth, reality. Discovering the nature of the reality is what? Discovering what limitlessness is. Discovering what limitlessness is. Discovering what happiness is. Discovering what happiness is what? Implies resolving all the one's wrong identity, which implies resolving one's limitations based on one's wrong identity, born of one's wrong identity, inadequacy, needs and desires, everything, thereby becoming completely free from all limitations. That is why discovering the nature of the self itself is what? Discovering what moksha is, what happiness is. Discovering what happiness is attaining moksha. Not different thing, which is very clear for us, isn't it? Therefore, knowledge of the self itself is moksha, identical. We say when we say, knowledge is the only means. It should be very clear. Because in this context, before we enter into these verses, we have to make it very clear that knowledge, why? Because what we seek is happiness. No, that happiness is what? Not something to be attained, something to be discovered. The ignorant lack of the knowledge of what happiness is the problem now. Not that we don't have happiness. What we have don't have is the knowledge of what happiness is. Therefore, all that we need to do is we need to attain the knowledge of what happiness is. We are going to attain moksha. We are going to attain happiness. We are going to attain the knowledge of happiness. That is very, understand, attaining the knowledge of what happiness is what? Attaining happiness, in fact. Therefore, the attainment of knowledge itself is moksha. I mean, it's the ultimate. Here, what does the karma have to do here? Understand? In this context, this mere performance of karma will produce results that will keep me going if you think that you can do. But don't expect moksha. Understand? Here, that is why jnanam is the only means for moksha. Jnanam itself is the moksha. This has to be tinned very clearly. We only say performance of karma is required for mental purity and steadiness, without which jnanam is not possible. If we know the relevance of karma, value of karma, we should also know the limitations of karma, what it cannot give. But there are some people, who are very much attached to the karma kanda of the Vedaha. They are not interested in jnana kanda. Okay? They are not interested in Upanishads. They do not accept what the Vedanta says. They get stuck with the karma kanda. Okay? And they say, come on, karma kanda is the most voluminous portion. Jnana kanda has only very few pages. Some Upanishads, which talks about the oneness of reality, which talks about the Jiva Ishwar Aikyam, Jiva Brahma Aikyam, okay? Jiva Jagat, oneness of the connection between the Jivaha, Ishwaraha and Jagat. Understand? All these things Upanishads is okay, but I tell you, the Karma Kanda is so wonderful, the most voluminous portion. Why? Because so many varieties of rituals, karmas are prescribed. See, why does Veda prescribes karma? Because for it to make use of it, enjoy the benefits. But when the question of moksha comes, suppose there is a grocery shop here, that shop is mentioned for what? Meant for what? You have to go and buy whatever grocery you want, that is where the shop is. It serves a purpose, it is useful, it is not useless. But what you cannot search for, but you cannot go and search for some cardigans and stuff there. It's not available. There's a different shop. Isn't it? Like that, you should know karma vedasya karma kandaha avashyakaha utanna. Is it necessary or not? No, who said it's not necessary? It is very important. Whatever karma has been prescribed, whatever ritual, varieties of rituals have been prescribed in the karma kanda of the Veda. They are all useful. You can perform any karma, you can accomplish any end you want to accomplish. I tell you, this is what is called kamadhug. Veda is a kamadhenu. The whole Veda is a kamadhenu. Whatever you want, kamadhenu in the mythology, we have a cow. We also have kalpaka vrikshaha in mythology. Go, kalpaka vrikshaha means the heavenly parijata tree. Go, sit under the tree. Imagine, I want now nice, big, hot, tasty pizza. Mm-hmm. We'll get it immediately. That is what is kalpaka vriksha. Understand? So, like kamadhena also, wish-fulfilling cow. Whatever you want, sit here, don't order, no pay money. You have kamadhena. Okay, come on, I want Starbucks coffee. It will come to you. Immediately you will get it. It is kamadhena. It's all mythology we Puranas talk about. Like that, really speaking, our Shad, whole Veda is a kamadhenu. Why? Because you want artha, go to karmakanda. You want kama, go to karmakanda. You want dharma, know the whole dharma. Veda helps you to understand dharma. And you want jnanam, come on. Moksha, go to jnanakanda. The whole Veda is what kamadhenu. Whatever you want, all artha, kama, dharma, for everything, Veda has. Jnanam is there, karma also is there. The entire Veda is a mata. Veda mata is fantastic. Vedaha is called Shrutihi because it has been being heard and retained in the mind and always preserved, and always it has been again preserved how? Through communication. That's why it's called Karna Paramparaya. Shruti Dwara Samrakshita is what? Vedamata, Shrutihi. That which has been being heard and retained, understood, transferred to other person, which has been maintained through the listening, always is what? Shrutihi. That's why Vedaha is also called Shrutihi. And this Vedaha, Shrutihi, is what? Said to be Shruti Mata. Know why it is called Shruti Mata? Mother knows the child. Always mother is interested in the well-being of the child. As a child, the child is 2 months old, mother knows what to give, how much to give, so the how to take. No mother will ever give, come on, my child, 2 months only old, I want him to become 28 year old, tomorrow itself I want him to go and get PhD, let me give all sorts of food now. No, it's not possible. Mother knows how much to give, what to give, when to give, how to help the child grow freely, no, healthily, no, accomplish. Mother knows with all care she'll know how to, you know, raise the child. Similarly, Veda also is interested in the well-being of the human mind, human being. When you are immature and not ready for jnana and moksha, it tells you, come on, moksha is the ultimate goal. Know that. And jnana is the only means for that moksha. No other way. You have to know one day or the other. You have to arrive at the truth of the whole universe, which is very as the very self, and not elsewhere, as the very self in your own mind. Understand? But for that knowledge, you have to be ready mentally pure. You have to become pure and steady. You have to live your life, and for which you have to become naturally dispassionate. I cannot make you dispassionate. One has to become naturally dispassionate, which implies one has to know the limitations of everything. One has to have desires. It is very natural for one to have desires. Any desire is very natural, divine, nothing wrong. One has to fulfill one's desire, doing things in keeping with dharma. Thereby one has to enjoy what? The results of. One has to have the one's desires fulfilled and thereby enjoying the results of one's fulfillment of one's desires also. One will grow out of desire. How? By knowing the limitations of the fulfilled desires. Understand? That is how one will become naturally dispassionate, for which one has to live one's life properly. That is why Karma Kanda prescribes all varieties of karmas in the Karma Kanda. initially, and wherein all that, whatever you want, there's a particular karma prescribed. Do this karma and you will get this phalam. You want rains, perform this particular ritual, chant these mantras. It's a ritual, it's a karma, it's a proper activity, okay? You do this, offer these ingredients, oblations, invoke this particular devata and chant these mantras, and as a result, you don't ask about the mechanism involved there, but you will see how the result will happen. These are treasures of knowledge. And you want a lot of money, perform Vayavya Yaga. Like how the wind blows, money will flow to you. Okay? Very difficult to perform. You want to become the big emperor, perform Ashwamedha Yaga. In India, we can't, nobody is there now. Okay? There are many kings who used to perform. Now we don't have even one king. You know, all the whole India together, you can't perform. It was such a big expenditure. Ashwamedha Yaga. There's so many expenditure. So many rituals prescribed. You want to, no, I want to go to Swarga. Come on, Jyotishto Maha. Jyotishto Mena Yajeta. Priyanka is going to say that. Perform Jyotishto Homa, you can go to Swarga. Heaven. See, Veda, Bhagavad Gita, our Shastrams talk about the heaven. Okay, heaven going idea is here. But, which also makes it very clear, heaven going, going to the heaven is only a holiday trip. You go and you have to come back. It is not the ultimate. Understand? What ultimate is happiness. And that happiness is the limitlessness. That is very you. Understand? That you need, it has to be discovered. This is a fact. It is very difficult for the grossest mind to understand this fact. And they're accepting, understand, accept the fact, understand the fact, then try to understand. This is a fact. That is why, that is, you don't need to go anywhere. Right now, here, asmin janmani ihaiva. Understand, you can attain it. So there's no such thing. But heaven, what can go to Jyotishtomaha is the Jyotishtomaha, Swarga Kamaha. Okay, one who is desirous of accomplishing heaven. Jyotishtomena Yajeta, may he perform the Jyotishta Homa. Here itself, he can attain. You go to that punyam, okay? The result of that performance of ritual will take one to heaven. That produces, when required punyam, then you can go. Like that, varieties of rituals. See, iha amutra. The pleasures to be enjoyed in this world, pleasures to be enjoyed later on in life after, in other higher worlds, which we cannot even comprehend. This is again a matter for belief. It's a non-verifiable belief. Because nobody has ever gone to heaven, come back and told us, come on, I went for a holiday to Ojai Valley. It was very beautiful. I can come back and tell you. But nobody has ever gone to heaven, come back and told us that how it looked. Nor can we go and come back and tell other people also. That is why it is. I cannot say there is no heaven at all. I cannot prove, nor can I prove definitely there is heaven. That is why it is a non-verifiable belief. And we have to also talk about it like that. We have varieties of pleasures, heavenly pleasures and worldly pleasures, all types of pleasures, also all types of artha. Artha and kama, for everything you have lots of rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda. And people read the Karma Kanda, listen carefully. People who are given to the study of Karma Kanda, who do not go to, okay, who they overwhelmed, okay, somehow they're very much given, taken over by the rituals. Study the Karma Kanda, perform rituals, enjoy the results, then what happens? Slowly they get engrossed in pleasures. They're attached. Come on, what is there? Okay? They are the people who are discussed in this verse. So I had to give this much to talk about this particular verse. Understand? So this verse is talking about people, the Karma Kandis, who do not, who value Karma Kanda more than the Jnana Kanda, who say, come on, perform this ritual, attend this palam, do this, Now you invest in this bank, you'll get more money. Go to that bank, you'll get more money. Don't invest here, you won't lose any money. Okay, like people talk now, we also talk nowadays. Our language is different, terms are different. Okay, which is the best company to invest? Who is giving better interest? Where I can, no? Where I won't lose money? What guarantee is there? Suppose in recession time, somebody gives you 10% interest here. You'll all jump to that bank. When you go and can't even trust to invest any money anywhere. And we also talk. So here, the karma kanda is, I performed this ritual, this came with this much result, you performed this ritual. Like that, people, see, Vedic period, no? They didn't have any such investment bank. They must have been relying so much on this Veda, completely, purely Vedic world, okay? The Vedikas. No, it's about them, okay? So it's only karma kandis who are engrossed in enjoying the pleasures and enjoying the security what they were able to gain through the performance of rituals. Such people, you know, who really were not attracted towards, because Purushartha Nischaya was not there. If Purushartha Nischaya is there, still they can perform karma, enjoy the results, knowing the limitation of the results of this karma. Suddenly, they get stuck here. They don't go for the Purushartha Nischaya is not there, means even great scholars who are given to the study of Vedas, even those who are given to the study of Vedas, great, okay, highly qualified, erudite Vedic scholars who are given Purushartha Nischaya is not there, means, okay, they get stuck with Karmakanda. That is why even Vaidikas, even people who studied Vedas, they don't go to Vedanta because they get stuck. It's possible. It is very natural for one to get, you know, when the more and pleasures and security you enjoy, the more you get engrossed. You won't think of moksha, you won't think of jnanam. Understand? That is why.
I don't know whether people know. We have got Arya Samaj.
No, wait, let me finish this.
They just have Vedas only, nothing else. We only chant the Vedas
investigating. That is, that's why I'm came. Okay, let me talk to Dr. Arjuna later on. I'll tell you about it. That's a different purpose why it came into being. Again, it's a sort of thing. That's a different context. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you about it. But why I'm saying, this particular verse talks about, it talks about the importance of having Purushartha Nischeha. If Purushartha Nischeha is not there, you will not proceed to Veda Anta. You will stand with Karma Kanda. Even though we are not Karma Kandas, but still, it is, we have to take the meaning for our own day-to-day life, how we lead. They get stuck with this. They don't go for Jnanam. And they'll say, come on, I don't need Jnanam. Don't need to think of Moksha. Okay? There's nothing greater than this. Anyat nasti. Anyat nasti. There's nothing like that. There's nothing bigger than performing a ritual. Nothing greater than performing a ritual. You don't need jnanam. You don't need understand. All understand. There's no, you don't need jnanam. Anyat nasti. There's nothing like karma. Performance of karma. Anyat nasti iti vadinaha. Those who say, Vadi means what? Those who say, there is nothing like performing karma. Na anyat asti iti vadinaha. And they also say, Veda-vada-rataha. Veda-vada-rataha means, those who are engrossed, totally engrossed, they remain steeped only in the knowledge of Veda, karmakanda of the Vedas, and those are so totally committed to the performance of rituals and enjoying totally committed to the pursuit of the ends they can gain through the performance of rituals. Those who are not interested in jnanam and moksha. Such people are said to be what? Veda-vada-rataha. Rataha means those who are engrossed. Those who remain engrossed. Engrossed means what? They can't come out of their thinking. Understand? Come out of their thinking means what? Nobody can go and influence them. Totally given to the belief. Okay, come on. Veda vada rataha. I tell you, now, bojana rataha. What means? One who, when you're eating, You, Peter comes, you don't see, see him. I come, you don't see me. Okay, you're so engrossed, you only know how tasty it is, how nice it is. You forget your own body, okay? Forget yourself and you eat only totally. You're so involved in that. Enjoying the taste of the food. Like a bhojanarataha. And you're watching TV, sometimes in Tamil Nadu channels, they show such things. Some people, family, whole family, which sits and watches, some old people, okay, old couple, they sit and watch TV channels, so serious, so seriously. They are TV rataha, TV program rataha. The thief comes, he slowly takes everything, he takes the keys from them, okay, take it. They don't even know. Open the cupboard, steal everything, oh, bye-bye, okay, go, go. After he, when he finishes, they come, oh my God, then only they come to know of the theft. It's called what? TV program Rataha. Rataha, you understand now what I'm saying? Like that, being totally committed and then being involved in that, engrossed in that. Rataha in a different context. That's the meaning of Rataha. So Veda Vada Rataha means those who are totally committed to all that is said in the Karma Kanda of the Veda. That means they're interested in performing rituals, they're committed to the accomplishment of the results, enjoyment of results they can gain through performance of rituals. Such people are Veda Vada Rataha. And they are, what do they say? Anyat Nasti Iti Vadinaha. It is nothing other than performance of karma, which can get you anything and everything you want. All that you want. Come on, our Veda Karma Kanda says all different varieties of rituals, you can accomplish anything here. Such people, Pushpitam Vacham Pravadanti, when they talk, come on, you perform this ritual, you get this. Do that ritual, you get this. Go to this place, you can get this. Like that, no? It's called flowery language. Pushpitam Vacham means what? Very attractive. Okay? Very attractive. And then impressive, then the flowery language. Pushpitam Vacham Pravadanti. Imam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadanti. Imam means kam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadanti. Anyat Nasti Iti Vadinaha. Understand? There's nothing other than performance of karma which can get you anything you want in life. Such people are who? Anyat Nasti Iti Vadinaha. Imam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadanti. And they, who are they? So they are Veda Vada Rataha. Listen now. Veda Vada Rataha. Anyat Nasti Iti, other than karma, nothing greater than karma, Iti Vadinaha. Imam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadanti. They say these flowery words. Okay? What is that? What is it say now? Who are they? Avipaschitaha. And Bhagavad Gita says, they are not vipaschitaha. Very interesting word. Vipaschit. Paschit. Vipaschit. Paschit means one who sees. The seer is called paschit. Vipaschit means one who sees very clearly. The discriminate person is vipaschit. Who is the vipaschit here? Vyavasayi is vipaschit. One who has purusharthanischayaha. One for whom goal is one, mokshaha. He is vyavasayi, he is vipaschit. And here, avipaschit means what? Indiscriminate person. Avipaschit. You had a, becomes indiscriminate. So, the plural is avipaschitaha. Indiscriminate people, avyavasayinaha, those who do not have purusharta nischaya, those who do not know for whom goal is not one, for such people who are, do not know the value of knowledge also, for whom artha kamas themselves become the ultimate goals, and they are stuck with the karma kanda, they say it's very important you have to perform karma kanda, the rituals. But you should also know the limitations of karma rituals. I told you. And then here, of course, Veda presents everything. Like in such Veda's Karshuti Mata. But these people know, they're stuck with karma kanda. And they say, perform only rituals, enjoy all the results. Understand? Enjoy the results. They are vipaschitaha, avipaschitaha, indiscriminate people. Vedavadarataha. Anyat nasti. There's nothing other than performance of ritual. There's nothing greater than performing ritual and gaining results through the rich performance of rituals. And then you perform this, you perform that. No, iti pushpitam vacham, imam pushpitam vacham pravadanti. Te ke te janaha avipaschitaha. Indiscriminate people. Understand? They not discriminate. So here again Krishna emphasizes what? You don't be an avipaschit. You be a vipaschit. You be a vyavasayi. You have purushartha nischaya. You be single-pointed, okay, focused. And you do pursue artha and kama in conformity with dharma ultimately for moksha. Be clear. Knowledge is the moksha. Knowledge itself is moksha. Understand, for which you need to do all your karma. Do all the karmas. All the rituals, worship, pray, all the duties you do in conformity with dharma, with proper attitude, make it a yoga, prepare yourself for knowledge, then understand, discover what you really seek in life. That is the way. Okay, not that simply talking like anyat nasti iti vadinaha. Anyat nasti iti vadinaha avipaschitaha. Vedavadarataha avipaschitaha. Understand? Imam Pushpitam Vacham Vadanti. Okay. So let us read the Bhashya here. Yam Imam Iti.
Yam Imam Iti.
Yam.
Yam.
Imam.
Imam.
Vakshyamanam.
Vakshyamanam.
So Imam means these, this. Okay. Vachaha is, here he says, what is a pushpitam? What is the flowery language these people who are committed to the performance of, only to the performance of rituals and the enjoyment of the results of the rituals? Vedavada rataha avipaschitaha. No ki. So what is the flowery language they speak? Okay, that's going to come in the later on in the following verse. Vakshyamanam. Pushpitam.
Pushpitam.
Okay. Pushpita vrikshaha iva.
Pushpita vrikshaha iva.
Shobhamanam.
Shobhamanam.
Okay. Shruyamana.
Shruyamana.
Ramaniyam.
Ramaniyam.
Vacham.
Vacham.
Vakyalakshanam.
Vakyalakshanam.
Pravadanti.
Pravadanti.
So here he says, Imam Vakshyamanam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadanti. What do they mean? See, Pushpitam Vacham means, see, Pushpitaha Vrikshaha. Pushpita Vrikshaha. Pushpita Vrikshaha means what? The tree which is full of flowers, which you have to wait for September, no? Or August. The tree which is full of flowers, that tree is what? Shobhamana. It looks so beautiful. Now, even now, for me, trees look beautiful only. But still, when the tree is full of leaves and flowers especially, we can see the difference, the trees in winter and trees in summer. Pushpita, now Pushpita Vrikshaha means a tree full of trees, a blue tree. Now, looks Shobhamana. Shobhamanaha. Shobhamanaha means what? Beautiful. Similarly, when they say also, Shruyamana Ramaniya, when they say something, it is very nice to listen. Shruyamana Ramaniya means what? Shruyamana Ramaniya means, Ramaniya means very pleasing. The words which are very pleasing to hear. When they are being heard, when somebody is saying something, when the words of other person who praises karma and the palam, when you're listening, you know, they're very pleasing. Okay, the pleasing words when they are being heard. The Shruyamana Ramaniya voice. Therefore, it's called what? You see, the Shankaracharya gives here, just as the tree with flowers is so beautiful, similarly the words which sound very nice also what? Very beautiful, so like flowery words. And these people speak. Who speak? He's asking the question.
ke vadanti, ke pravadanti. They don't simply say vadanti means speak. Pravadanti means the way they present, the way they talk about it, you are tempting, okay? You are tempted. That is why pravadanti. Who speak like that? He says, what is the flowery language they speak that we are going to see later on? Okay? And just I told you much earlier, if you do this, you will get this. If you do this, you will get this. There's so assurance. And you are tempted. It's a flowery language. Nice to hear, no? Oh, if I do this karma, I'll get this. Let me do it. Like that. That's a flowery language. So here, avipaschitaha.
Avipaschitaha.
Look at this. Very beautiful. Shankara says, ke pravadanti. Who speak this flowery language? Very nice to listen. Very nice to listen. But practically, they will not take you anywhere. They will not help you to accomplish ultimately what you want. Therefore, avipaschitaha. Avipaschitaha means what? Avipaschit, I told you already. Vipaschit means discriminate person. Avipaschit is indiscriminate person. Vipaschitaha, discriminate people, plural. Avipaschitaha, avipaschitaha, indiscriminate people, plural. Okay? The indiscriminate ones, the people, they speak flowery language. Flowery means what? Very tempting words. What they are going to see, we are going to see later on. Okay? We'll see next one. Then Shankaracharya gives the meaning, alpamedhasaha.
Alpamedhasaha.
See, medhas, no? Medha means what? Wisdom. Okay? And the capacity to understand, retain, ascertain, everything. Alpamedhas means what? Okay, people do not really have clarity. Understand? Not have adequate clarity. Alpamedhasaha. They have medha, very little medha. You mean what? They don't have adequate clarity. Understand? They are not totally ignorant people. Very highly erudite and all that. So, alpamedhasaha. They are people of inadequate clarity. So, here alpamedhasaha. And who are they? Shankara himself says, avivekinaha. Avivekinaha. Look at it. He used three meanings. Avipaschitaha, alpamedhas. Okay? Alpamedhasaha and avivekinaha. Understand? Indiscriminate people of confusion, people who lack the discriminative knowledge, or what? Avivekinaha. Vivekaha means discriminative knowledge. Okay, one who has discriminative knowledge is who? Viveki. And aviveki is the one who does not have the discriminative knowledge. Understand? Therefore, avivekinaha, alpamedhasaha, okay, avipaschitaha, imam pushpitam vacham vadanti. Understand? They speak this very flowery, attractive, tempting language, which sound very nice to hear. So here, the next sentence. Vedavadarataha.
Vedavadarataha.
Look at this. Now Shankaracharya gives the meaning. Vedavadarataha. What is the meaning? Shankara in his Bhashyam explains. Look at this. Bahvartavada.
Bahvartavada.
Phala.
Phala.
Sadhana.
Sadhana.
Prakashakeshu.
Prakashakeshu.
Vedavakyeshu.
Vedavakyeshu.
Rataha.
Rataha.
See, Vedavada Rataha means Vedavakyeshu Rataha. Vedavakyeshu Rataha means what? Those who are engrossed, those who remain engrossed in the statements of the Veda. The statement, okay, the statement said in the Veda, declared in the Veda. And what sort of statements? They do not talk, they don't go to the important things, okay? They are engrossed in only the, they give importance to the sentences in the Vedas, only which talk about the karma and the phalam. Understand? It's like, you know, whatever they like, they choose. They're the people who are, we always say, no? Whatever is convenient for me, I'll take. Whatever is desirable for me, I take. Like that. So here he says, Bahuarthavada Bahu Arthavada Phala Sadhana Prakashakeshu Vakyeshu. See, there are many sentences. We have in Vedas sentences which are known as Arthavada Vakyani. Arthavada Vakyani are there in Veda. Arthavada Vakyani means it talks about the karma, how to perform a given karma, which devata should be invoked, and then how many mantra, what is the mantra should be recited, how many times it should be recited, how the ritual should, the know-how of rituals, all, and if you perform this ritual perfectly, how many days should be performed, and what will be the result you will gain, etc., etc. All these sentences in the Karma Kanda of the Veda, which reveal the know-how all about the performance of ritual and the result that goes with the given ritual, all about the sentences reveal, talk. Such sentences are known as Arthavada Vakyani. Is it clear now? And how many are there? Bahu. Bahu, many. So, Bahu Arthavada Palasadhana. If you palasadhana means what? The sentences which talk about the karma, okay, how they become means, how karma becomes sadhanam for varieties of ends. We want children. Oh, nowadays we don't, nobody wants, okay. In India, it's a culture to have children. We want children. Bhagavan has blessed you with children. Do putra kameshti. Okay, like that. That is a different culture here. Nowadays, even Bhagavan wants to give, nobody wants here. That's a cult, children. That's a be funny. That's why I don't know how relevant it is those days, no? And you want, so I'm really struggling. I'm doing all my efforts to do all these things, to gain money, to ward off poverty, to, I want, my suppose agriculturists will say, my God, I want timely rains. All my crops are, no, in the hot sun. I don't want them to die. I want rains. Oh Bhagavan, all my crops I'm going to harvest. I don't want rains now. I want rains to come later. Understand? Like that, we had to, different things for everything, they had to pray. We had varieties of palam. Pala sadhanam means what? This, see, the sentences which reveal the varieties of rituals which become the means for gaining given ends. Understand? They are called, they are the Vakyani. So, Bahu Arthavada Pala Sadhana Prakashakani Vakyani. Those sentences, Prakashak means what? Reveal. Those, the statements of the Veda which reveal varieties of karmas, rituals, and which serve as means to accomplish many desired given ends. And such they are given to only such sentences. Understand the people, these avipaschitaha, they are the people Vedavada Rataha. Is it clear now? Vedavada Rataha. Okay. Hey Partha.
Hey Partha.
See, when they're given only to those things, they know thoroughly which page of the, okay, not, there's no page actually, which karma, which kanda, which shaka, which branch, where, what mantra, what devata, everything they know thoroughly. Understand? They are the Vedic scholars. Nowadays local priests don't know anything. The Shuklambradama, they don't know properly. But those, you know, they have thorough knowledge, very highly erudite. That is why they can really see, the more the person is erudite, the more scholarly, the more the person can communicate well, more expressive, the better he can present, very authentic, because Veda, that is the greatest of Veda. When Veda says, you do this karma, do this way, chant this mantra, this is devata, this is the result, definite. Suppose somebody comes and tells you, come on, go to this bank, I give the guarantee, okay? If you do this, invest in this bank, you will definitely get this much money next year. Invest 10,000 pounds, next year you will make 1 million pounds. Suppose somebody tells you, okay, guarantee. If you don't get, I'll give my thing. Who will not listen? An authentic. Veda Vakyam. Understand? Therefore, when people talk, very tempting. The flowery words. Pushpitam Vacham. Veda Vadarataha. Katam Veda Vadarataha. No? Bahu. Many, not one sentence they say. Like how many times people call you in the telephone, mobile, oh my God, how many calls you have to go and take and waste calls. No? Bahu, many. Arthavada, okay, pala sadhana, prakashakeshu, vakyeshu, rataha, vedavada rataha. Is it clear now? Yes. I think I made it clear. Therefore, then he partha, and Krishna says Arjuna, okay, na anyate, swarga, pashvadi,
phala,
sadhanebhyah, karmabhyah,
Asti.
Okay. So he says, Swarga sadhanam pashvadi. Pashu means what? Pashu adi means cattle wealth, etc. See, in India, cattle is a big wealth. That's why I can say cattle wealth. Pashvadi means cattle wealth, means all forms of, any form of prosperity. Prosperity in any form, Lakshmi in any form, wealth in any form, if you want. No? Any wealth for that. And also what? Not only security here, not only wealth here, not only pleasures in this world, okay? Even heavenly pleasures, swargadi, swarga, pashvadi, all forms of pleasures, varieties of pleasures, heavenly pleasures, mundane pleasures, all sorts of forms of prosperity, wealth, everything. To accomplish anything, okay? Sadhanebhyaha, karmabhyaha, na asti, there's nothing other than karma. Understand? Nothing other than karma, performance of rituals. We have other sadhanas to gain those things. Iti evam vadinaha. See, if you want cattle wealth, what else can you, how can you have cattle wealth? Want to be performing ritual. You want any form of prosperity, you have to perform ritual. You want pleasures in this world, perform ritual. You want pleasures in heavenly pleasures, perform ritual. Perform ritual means we have to take it as what? Do this karma, get this result. This shloka does not say you should not do karma. It only makes us understand the how people who are given to only workaholics, okay, you know, only karma, and who think only by doing karma, doing something, even meditate, you know, sit and meditate and meditate and meditate, by doing karma I can accomplish something once. That's also become what, karma. Understand? That is why very clear what I am saying, without purushartha nischeha, I tell you one thing, please listen carefully. In India, anything we do is yoga, if we have purushartha nischeha. If purushartha nischeha is not there, even if you do something which you called yoga, it's not yoga. Understand? If you ask what are all the yoga, what are all things which come under the category of yoga? Pranayama, pranasya ayamaha, exercising of the breathing. Breathing exercise. Yoga asanam means what? Different types of physical exercises. Asanam means different postures. Positions called asanam means seating. Different types of postures and seating is what? Exercise. Physical exercise, asanam. Asanam becomes yoga, asana pranayama. And pranayama becomes yoga. Here we also say upasanam, or saguna brahma upasanam, meditation, also about mental activity. Okay, all these are manasamkar, meditation, just mental activity, asanam, physical activity, pranayama, the breathing exercise, all the different physical exercise, breathing exercise, and then disciplining exercise to discipline the mind. Exercise to discipline the mind is meditation. Techniques, practice to discipline the mind is what? Exercise. It is a sort of exercise, meditation. An exercise to discipline your prana is what? Pranayama. Asana is what? Physical exercise. All these exercises also, no, we call it yoga. Why? Because if purushartha nischeha is there, they all become yoga. If purushartha nischeha is not there, if jnanam being, if knowledge of the reality is not the ultimate goal, if Bhagavan is not involved there, Ishwara is not involved there, it's only just an exercise. But it will help you to keep your body fit. That's all. It's very good. See, exercise is important. I do not deny the fact of all these exercises being useful. I do not deny. Please don't misunderstand me. Pranayama is very good. Learn the proper teacher, practice. It serves a purpose, it's very useful. Meditation, okay, any technique you practice, it helps to relax, definitely, no doubt. It is useful. Okay, if it is not practiced carefully, it may lead to madness. That's a different thing. And similarly, yoga, asana, prana, asana. When I was young, I used to do a lot of yoga. So even now, I'm very flexible. Though I'm very regularly practicing. After coming to London, I didn't want to make noise in our wooden flooring. And I stopped doing it. Maybe I'll 4 years now. But I'm still, I can do. What I'm saying, this asana is what? Physical exercise. Understand? This really is very useful. But does it become a yoga? Will it contribute? Will it become yoga? If purushartha nischaya is not there, jnanam being the ultimate end is not very clear. Understand? The value of knowledge is not known. Value of dharma is not known. Without living a life of dharma, without having proper attitude, whatever you practice, it serves a purpose. Any karma should produce a result. It does serve a purpose. But it doesn't become yoga. Even the so-called yoga becomes a mere karma if purushartha nischaya is not there. Understand? If purushartha nischaya is there, your walking becomes yoga, your sitting becomes yoga, getting up becomes yoga. Understand? Amazing, isn't it? Once you bring in Bhagavan as the ultimate goal, the whole life becomes what? From morning till evening, that's why we have a beautiful Shiva Manasa Puja. When we say, it's very beautiful, very, very beautiful verse. The last word we say, he says, that wherever I walk, my walking is the pradakshinam. Whatever I rubbish or talk also, not rubbish, okay? Whatever I speak, my speech is what? Your puja, your archanam. Understand? This is a very beautiful verse. I know my mind is Parvati and you are me. Understand? Shambho tava aradhanam. It ends with that. This is what my aradhanam. My whole life is my aradhanam for you. Worship for you. Once you have purushartha nischaya, knowledge is the ultimate. You know the value of dharma. 100% I commit to dharma. I always seek Bhagavan's grace to live a life of dharma. Understand? Values. Because wherein I am conscious of not hurting, not doing anything, knowingly. Okay, unknowingly we do some things, that's okay. That's why we are worshipful and prayerful. Then we live like dharma means what? And here, the whole thing, even if you don't do worship, separately don't worship also, whatever, the brushing becomes yoga, it going to toilet becomes yoga. In fact, every karma becomes yoga. Otherwise, the so-called yoga becomes what? Okay, it will produce phalam, because law of karma, but it is only karma. Understands, very, very important to know this. This is very, very clear. So here, he says here, that is why, sometimes I go out of touch, okay. Bahu artha pala sadhana vakyeshu, veda vakyeshu ataha. That's why here, swarga, heavenly pleasures, this mundane, worldly pleasures, okay, and here prosperity, artha, kama, everything. Therefore, to accomplish such things, there's nothing other than karma. Karma bhyaha, there's no other means, okay? There's nothing like karma. Iti, they're very tempting. Do this karma. Of course, the truth is there, but this is why when they talk about it, the partially truth, but still purushartha nischeha is there, you'll also take what they say, you'll know, yes. Performance of karma is good. To accomplish this end, to appease my hunger, I have to eat food. To eat the food, food must be ready. If it is not ready, I had to cook. To cook the food, I need ingredients. For that, I had to have money. I had to go to the shop, buy things. All these are true. There's no doubt about it. Understand? But understand, ultimately, what you seek, that happiness, simply eating food will not make you happy. But without eating food also, you cannot be happy at all. You have to eat food. But eating itself will not make you happy. This is what is understanding the advantage of karma and karma phalam. Okay, usefulness of karma and karma phalam. At the same time, limitation of it. We are not belittling karma here. We only talk about the limitation of karma. How it is useful, but at the same time, what it cannot give. We have to be very clear. Once you have that clarity, then why? What I seek is this. Jnanam is the means for that. And the karma is very important. Karma can only produce this result. Karma can give me artha and kama. Understand? But karma cannot give me what? Moksha. What karma can give, what karma cannot give. So to get artha kama, I need to do karma. Understand? If I should not go and search for happiness as a result of karma. Then I am what? I am avipaschit, indiscriminate person. Understand? So searching for the right thing at the right place. Then you are avipaschit. You search for the right thing at the wrong place means what? Avipaschit. This karma khandanaha, something like that, sometimes like that. Not all karma khandanaha. Purushartha nischaya rahita karma khandanaha. Purushartha nischaya sahita karma khandanaha are not avipaschit. Avipaschit. That is why, very important. So here, iti evam vadinaha. Evam vadinaha means vadana shilaha. People who speak like this, people who highlight and project, bring to limelight how great the karma is, how the paramahansas are very great, how they can produce results, what all results they can produce. And nothing like for artha and kama, for pashvadi means for any sort of wealth, for any sort of pleasures, heavenly or mundane, for everything we have to perform rituals. Nothing like karma, other than karma, nothing can help you accomplish artha kamas in this life. Okay? People who talk are the avipaschita. Avipaschitaha, aivekinaha, vedavada rataha, people. Okay. Kamatmanaswargaparaha Janma karma phala pradam
Kriya vishesha bahulam
Bhogaishwariyagatimprati. Okay. And so they say, they speak very flowery language, and they also say prescribe karma. They say what? Who are those people? Kamatmanaha. No? Kamatmanaha means kama atmana, kama subhavaha, kama paraha. Kamatmanaha means kama paraha. Shankara gives the meaning kama paraha. Kamaha eva paraha yesham. For those people for whom pleasures are the ultimate goal. If you are Purusharta Nischeha, if you are Vyavasayi, if you are a Viveki, if you are a Vipaschit, then you will be Moksha Paraha. Understand? Moksha Paraha. Moksha Paraha means what? Moksha Eva Paraha Yasya. Is Moksha Paraha. Those for whom Moksha is the ultimate, or Moksha being the ultimate is choiceless, is very clear, they are Moksha Paraha. If people are not Moksha Paraha, then who will they, who they will be what? Kama Paraha. For whom pleasures become the ultimate. Okay, Jnana Paraha, Moksha Paraha is the same. But here, Kama Paraha, for whom Param means ultimate. For people, those people, Kama eva paraha yesham te kama paraha. They are kamatmanaha. And not only kamatmanaha, swarga paraha. Swarga paraha. So people for whom pleasures are the ultimate, and also swarga paraha, going to heaven is my ultimate. Okay, I want to enjoy all pleasures in this life. I have enjoyed the seen the best of pleasures in this life. I have done gone for world tour 3 times using all the best cheap tickets available, all the airways. And what is next now? I have to go to heaven. Next trip is to heaven. Okay, heaven. Swarga paraha means what? Those people for whom going to heaven is the ultimate goal. They are swarga paraha. Even those people are who did not have purushartha nischayaha avivekinaha avipaschitaha. If do not, if the moksha in the ultimate is not very clear, then you will end up like this. The purushartha nischaya is very, very important here. You, if one second think, why do I want to go to heaven? If you think, because I'll be happy there. That's all. Gone. Okay? That is the idea. If you ask the question, why do I want to go to heaven? Heaven, okay, it's a longer, big, more expensive holiday. You have to work hard for that. It means what? Therefore, swarga paraha, those people for whom going to heaven is the ultimate, they are swarga paraha, kama atmanaha, kama paraha, swarga paraha. Then, such people, what do? They kriya visesha bahulam. Okay? Pravadanti, you have to say. Kriya visesha bahulam means what? Kriya visesha bahulam means they talk about varieties of karmas, varieties of rituals. You know, it's like suppose every travel agent gives you the different, you know, packages. You don't know how to choose, which to choose. Go to this country, go to this country, go this. You know, varieties packages they present. No? Varieties, especially holiday season, means varieties of many Arab people present varieties of package tours. Don't know which to choose. Here also, Kriya Visesha Bahula means what? Varieties of rituals with their ends they talk about. Kriya Visesha Bahulam. Okay? Kriya Visesha Bahulam. And then they talk about, and what after what? Bhoga Aishwarya Gatim Prati. Bhoga Aishwarya Gatim Prati. Bhoga means enjoyment of pleasures. Aishwarya means all sorts of prosperity. Gatim Prati. Ultimately, to accomplish all forms of enjoyment of all forms of pleasures and also all forms of security, artha, okay, prosperity. For that, they talk about varieties of rituals. But such performance of rituals without purushartha nischayaha, without proper attitude, okay, performed will not be karma yoga. It is not karma yoga, it's only a karma. Karma should produce what? According to law of karma, should produce only results. Results are there means what? Definitely we'll be accumulating, hoarding what? Lots of, okay, we will be depositing investments, punya papas. Understand? That means what? Janma karma phalapradam. Okay, janma karma phalapradam. Kriya visesha bahulam pravadanti. All those varieties of performance of rituals and the ends they talk about, in fact, will really result in what? Janma karma phalaprada. You will result in the bondage of, it will keep you going in samsara. Janma karma phalaprada. It will result in being born again and becoming subject to death again. So it will keep you going in samsara. Understand? So such things, so varieties of rich performance of rituals and the results which they talk about in order to accomplish bhoga and aishwarya, which will result in bondage, not in freedom. Is it clear? Anyway, the Bhashyam will see. I'll make it much clearer next class. We are still in the Karmakanda. Anyway, and we are going to see how for such people, listen carefully, for such people, there is no yoga. If Purusha, there is no yoga. There is only karma. Karma, okay, for karma yogi also Punya Papa is there. For karmi also Punya Papa is there. But
For karma yogi, the in due course of time, he'll be prepared for, he'll have contemplative disposition. The karmi will not have contemplative disposition. Samadho na vidhiyate, mind will not have disposition required for knowledge, meditation. Understand? Therefore, he's going to talk about why. Karmi performs ritual, karma yogi also performs ritual. Karmi naha kimbhavati. For a karmi, samadho na vidhiyate, mind will not remain still. A karma yogi will be easy. We'll see you in the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.